Okay, let's hear about your experience with this powerful process. Yes, Marilyn?
I had things come up that I wouldn't have associated with my original.
Ah, so surprises.
Yeah, totally different. You know, one was a high school situation, and then another one was further back when I was 8.
Uh-huh.
And my mom had been really sick, and the two came together, and I never would have associated.
Mm-hmm. So it's the feeling. There was, at some point, there was a similar, it may not have been exactly the same feeling, but similar enough that when you do the guided search, your unconscious mind goes, oh yeah, let's pick that one up too.
And those two came together with what I'm going to do now.
A fish for you.
Yeah.
She already gave you one, that's good. Yeah. Okay, other comments. What was it like for you? How easy was it? Yes, Rashmi.
Marilyn did work for me the same thing. She did a good job. I thought it was a self-confidence, mm-hmm. but it wasn't a self-confidence. It was something different. So huh? I thought I want to be confident in front of the public, but it wasn't for that acceptance.
Oh, okay.
So when I saw the guided thing,
mm-hmm.
It was a similar feeling, but it wasn't similar.
Okay. And you thought what you need was confidence, and
but
that wasn't what you needed at all.
It
yeah.
was more love and acceptance.
Right. Acceptance so and love. Mm. Yeah, Sebastian?
So I accessed to a very small, very early memory of 6 and 8 years old that it made full sense. And then what was remarkable afterwards is that feeling happened of the new resource put into that early situation changed it. Mm-hmm. Not only that, it suddenly started happening as a flushing throughout the whole history where all these things happen, changing all of these until today and into the future. It was a very, very nice, relieving feeling. It's like someone popped a balloon and then it all went.
That's lovely,
that really, really, like, what it actually mentions here, changed personal history, that's what I felt happened to a degree, of course.
Okay.
That was cool.
And so, Gary, what did you do that allowed that bubble to pop for him? That
honestly, I stumbled. I forgot a step when we first went through it, and then we came back and did it again. And I think even the second time that I did it, I still made some mistakes. But I guess maybe improvisation. I'm a pretty good improviser, so.
Thank you for bringing that up. I have left whole steps out of processes that have a sequence of steps, and they still work. Why do you think that might happen?
Because of your intent.
He really wanted it to happen. So I'm just enabling this process.
Yeah.
As long as I'm staying out of the way of it and guiding it, mm-hmm. then it's
happening. Yeah.
Well,
Tara?
I just want to thank you all for sharing your experiences of how you went back to an experience that you thought wasn't related at all. Because that happened to me and I was like, ugh, this is not working. So maybe my situation is only in this current context. And so after you all said that, I'm like, oh. And then there was a light bulb that went off and like, oh, that's why. So I figured it out, yeah. Mm, yeah,
yes.
On, in a lot of ways, like unrelated, but then I figured it out. So. We'll,
yeah.
We'll redo it later.
Okay, and your unconscious mind knows. Remember, we have the brain up there with all these little synapses everywhere. It goes, I know what's related here,
yeah.
And it connects the dots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you consciously may never have thought about those, how something that's happening with you right now could be related to an experience you had when you were a kid. But a lot of things are related to experiences we had before the age of 8, when we didn't really have the ability to think things through and decide what you would do in certain circumstances. We're so, any of you who have little kids, you know, they're so moldable, they're so malleable that a lot of things can happen when you are younger. And then you get into an adult situation, and it's the child that's really driving you. And you go, huh, this is all related to this four-year-old that I'm still carrying inside me that needed resources. Wow. Well, let's just give that child some resources. And oftentimes what happens is it generalizes the way it must have done for Sebastian. I didn't put in here, and I will add it, that as you have somebody, after you have had somebody relive their earlier experience with the resources, you can have the person grow up with those resources, bringing it through all of time with, again, the anchor there. So then that helps with the generalization of it. You did. Well, see, that's why I asked, what did you do? Well, you did it without realizing you were doing it.
Marilyn and I did it.
And I didn't add that on your chart, but some of you intuitively know to do that. So grow up still using the anchor. Yeah. And then when you're future pacing it, so then with, like in Marilyn's situation where she said there was something back here and then there was something in high school, when you've gotten two or three examples of experiences that were related to that feeling, when you add the resource to the earliest one and have the person come through time, imagine growing up with it, it changes all of it. Yes, Horatio?
So we grew up with the anchor on, uh-huh. Let go, and we feature pace without the anchor, is that right?
Oh, you know, you can feature pace with the anchor. It, again, the other thing I wanted to bring up about Gary saying, oh, I missed this, and I missed, it's intent. If you have rapport and intent, you can be a poor technician and miss some of the technical aspects of it, and it doesn't matter. Because the person, if they trust you and your intent is to be there for them and help them, their unconscious mind goes, I know how to do this. Yeah. And so you can miss steps. Okay, you two got something. Yes, Guy and Nancy.
I was just going to say, I was amazed how you can feel it, that feeling in your body in a certain place.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, it's just you don't realize that, but I guess a lot of times when it comes up, there's that feeling in your body and you don't know it until you're conscious of it.
So is the beauty of NLP. Yeah, it helps us with self-awareness. Oh, yeah. And if you, are any of you people in here body workers? Yeah. Well, we'll have body workers say they're doing, massaging a certain area or doing work and it releases an emotional state. Because they're there, they're coded in the body. Yeah, the body holds on to them. Yes, Guy.
So I have a very interesting experience with the exercise because I didn't have to imagine growing up with it. I actually grew up with that resource.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I actually did.
Yeah, so you had gone back and retrieved a childhood resource.
After that incident, so I gave the child that resource, right? But mm-hmm. in real life, yeah. I actually had that, grew up with that resource.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very interesting insight.
Okay. So you already had what you needed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it actually explained to me why I did certain things a certain way. I was like, oh, that's why.
Yeah. Yeah. Exciting. Okay, yeah.
I just wanted to throw this quote out there by Richard Bandler. It's never too late to have a happy childhood.
It isn't ever too late, yeah. And so this, for many of you, this may have been your first experience of time travel, going back in time and finding out what happened and how you might add resources to it. you will have many more of those kind of experiences in NLP, I guarantee you. Because we do want to update, and we're not changing what happened back there, but we're changing the feelings and the child that we're carrying inside us as we do this. And it's very, very powerful as change processes. So any other comments, questions about this? If you haven't had the opportunity to experience it, be sure that in a practice session, you do it. And you can do it with anything that comes up. So what you might want to do is keep a little journal as you're going through life. Oh boy, we have the holiday season coming up. And often that brings up issues for people. You know, when you're around family, when and the holidays are tough times, make a note of something that comes up that you go, I don't like that. I think that I'm going to go to an NLP practice session and get a different response to that. So just make a note so that you've got things to work with as you go along. What?
I said, I just want to invite them.
They're
going
to come
after you
for the
bacon
on your leg.
Oh, yeah.
No?
Kind of adding on to what like Gary's experience where when I was working with Diana, I was just like, I hope I'm doing a good job. But you know, in my head, I'm like, oh, I'm doing this good. And it was kind of a, I wasn't confident, but I was, you know, I did went through the process, and then she was like, reassuring me, like, wow, that was awesome. And I was like, okay, wow, okay, good. Yeah, so I feel where you're coming from with that, Gary.
Well, okay, so something else I might suggest that I have heard, anything worth doing, and many of you would finish this differently than I'm going to finish it, anything worth doing is worth doing poorly at first. Because then that means that you're learning. So oftentimes we don't do it with confidence or in the absolute most elegant way we could. And so anything worth doing, and think about the things that you learned in your life that are really important to you that you didn't do well to begin with. I mean, how many times did you miss your mouth when you were learning to eat? Or button your shirt wrong, or, you know, all of that, walk, talk, all those things that were important to us, we didn't do well to begin with because we were a learning machine, yeah. Marilyn?
No, that's not what I wanted to say. Practice makes permanent.
Oh.
I knew that popped right out in the middle. You know, now, perfect practice makes perfect, but practice makes permanent.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's nice. Nancy?
Well, you know, I kind of noticed the same thing working with someone. It was interesting. My intent today was to connect with people. So I was working with someone, and it went through my mind, am I doing this right? And realized that was a disconnect. Mm-hmm. And went back to connecting with the person and going through the process as it was coming.
How many of you had some of those thoughts as you were doing this? Yeah. Eeks, what am I doing? Oh no, I'm not doing this right. Perfectly normal and natural. I love that you're sharing that with each other because it's a part of it. I want to share with you every now and then that happens to me. I'm doing a demonstration in front of a group. And I have this little voice that pops in. What are you going to do with this? do you? Yeah. So yeah. There's always learning. Yes, yeah. Irma.
I have a question. Because we are practicing right here with each other. My question is, when I'm doing with another person, I have to let her know what I'm going to do next.
Okay, if it's someone that's not in this class, that hasn't been here with the learning, that's a great question. How much do you tell them? Yes. Well, if you're going to use a kinesthetic anchor, you say, I'm going to be touching you and associating that touch with something that we would call a resource state. So, because otherwise, somebody might go, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you tell them, yes. But you don't have to tell them every step of the way. But you might say, are you interested in having a really fascinating experience to find out where this might have started? We can actually do some time travel. You don't say, I'm going to do a transderivational search with you. They'll go, eh. Or even a guided search, because they won't have any idea what that means. But so you bring their curiosity up. And I like to ask for permission, depending on what my relationship is like with somebody. My friends all know what I do, and I just say to them, you know, if you ever want to have some experience, let me know. And then I'll tell them what I'm doing. It came up the other day, can I do this without somebody knowing you're doing it? Well, of course you can, but to me, that's what I call an ecology issue, doing things without telling people what I'm doing, because it doesn't feel respectful to me. Yeah, Joseph?
Kind of an off-the-tangent question. How would this work in the case of helping somebody get over any kind of substance abuse? Like, for example, somebody with smoking, drinking, or any of the substance abuse problem.
Okay, so if we go back to what you learned last module from Larry about neurological levels, we're learning processes that are designed to help you at certain neurological levels. This may or may not, whatever issue you were dealing with, be related to who you are at the identity level. Or it may or may not be related to your beliefs. So certain issues, if they are at the identity level or your belief level, may require more. And substance abuse and weight loss are two of those that often have identity things beneath them. And so this isn't going to be a big enough hammer, if you're following me. You may need other additional things that you're going to learn throughout the training, or especially in the advanced trainings. The practitioner training is designed to teach you things that you can change in specific environments, behaviors, and we're going to get into capabilities, your thinking process, not necessarily designed to help you change beliefs and identity. That we reserve that for when you've had more foundation skills. Yeah. But that's a great question. And I have helped people get over substance abuse if it's just a behavior they do. Somebody who smokes cigarettes when they get together to play poker with their high school friends, and they do it once a week, and they don't say, I am a smoker, then oftentimes some of this will work just perfectly. Yeah. So it depends on what neurological level the change needs to occur. Yeah. Yes.
I know this might be a smoking gun, but it's an interesting topic about the substance abuse, because when we think about AA and the ideologies that are built up around AA, it is to absolutely identify with that, and it's an interesting concept now as we see what we're doing and how that, you know, I've had alcoholics in my family, and I know that it continues to perpetuate the issue, that it continues to be that struggle, I am, right?
That's right.
Uh-huh. And it is an interesting topic for discussion. Yeah.